This AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by Trivapro fungicide from Syngenta for corn growers who need a harder working, longer lasting fungicide. AgriTalk is sponsored by ESN Smart Nitrogen, the leading controlled release nitrogen in agriculture. It's the smart way to reduce nitrogen loss and increase yield. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com. Nobody, and I mean nobody, is willing to sell hogs. Period. That's it. You know what? We could probably just end the show right there and watch basketball for the afternoon. Nobody is willing to sell hogs. Oh, and there was some talk about China maybe buying some corn, too.
From Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we spent some time with Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities. And after the news, Oliver Slope from Blue Line Futures. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now the host of AgriTalk, Chip Flory.
Hey, thank you, Davis. I'm telling you.
Yeah?
This hog market, Jeff Wilson basically called it this morning.
He did.
In the conversation that we had in the morning show at the bottom of the hour, Markets Now, he's at the time, hogs were trading sharply higher, like $2.50 higher.
Yep.
But he basically said, listen, you know, who's going to stand in the way of this thing?
Right.
And I love the way that he explained what to expect from the hog market going forward. It's going to keep going up until it doesn't.
Well, that, you know.
You know?
That's some sage advice right there.
And in this kind of a market, that is exactly right. It will continue to go up until it doesn't. Do not get in its way.
I think he fell short of calling the move parabolic. I wonder if he would have.
No, he called it parabolic.
Did he call it parabolic?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Well, he hit it right on the head then.
We're up
the expanded limit today in these hogs. Is there an expanded limit? So like tomorrow is limit $6? Is that how that works?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
I bet hogs could do it.
Maybe there is. We'll have to ask Garrett.
With Jeff Wilson on their side, there's nothing hogs can't do.
Right. And, there's a reason that they do this. They want the market to be as efficient as it possibly can.
Yeah.
And part of the efficiency is getting a job done in a hurry. Okay. So by going to the expanded limits, what that does is it allows the markets to factor in a happening or exhaust buying interest or create selling interest. It just allows the market to do it that much faster.
Okay.
So dollar was sharply higher today. Crude was a little bit lower. Stocks, sharply higher. Dow's up like 260 points right now.
Jeez.
Solid gains in the corn market. Soybeans were higher. Soybean meal worked to the upside with bean oil lower. Wheat was firm. Live cattle higher. Feeder cattle saw solid gains. And, of course, the limit up move in hogs. All right, buddy, what moved them?
Well, Chip, the U.S. dollar index reversed yesterday's sharp losses and even posted a new high for the week in today's trade. The greenback was sharply lower yesterday in reaction to the Federal Reserve's decision to leave interest rates unchanged and strong indications that interest rates will not be increased this year. The 800-plus point rally in the dollar today puts the spot month index near the midpoint of the March trading range. Wheat was an unwilling follower but did manage to close slightly higher and near session highs. Buying was limited by disappointment over export demand. Imagine that. Yeah. USDA this morning reported old crop sales in the week ended March 14 of nearly 299,000 metric tons. That includes, there's also new crop sales of almost 139,000 tons. Neither tally was viewed as supportive for prices. May hard red futures were 3 cents higher, 447. May soft red futures gained 1.75 cents to 466 and a half. May spring wheat fell a quarter cent to 571 and a quarter, Chip.
Yeah, soft red futures are kind of changing the attitude in on the daily chart right now. So the chart picture is improving in wheat as it's been trying to push to the upside here a little bit.
Corn export sales in the weekend of March 14 totaled nearly 856,000 metric tons, which lined up with trade expectations. Traders also took note that China purchased another 65,000 tons of U.S. sorghum in the reporting period, but comments from a China-based analyst that China could start to buy U.S. corn in early April ahead of an expected U.S.-China trade deal helped corn trade more than a nickel higher in the last hour of trade. Dwayne Bossy said this could be the thing that finally starts to loosen those shorts in this Daisy Duke market. He emailed me a little earlier today. May corn futures 4¾ cents higher, 376¼. July up 4½, 385½. Dece 19, 398¾, up 3¼ on the day chip.
Yeah, and Dwayne is exactly right. If we continue to push this market to the upside and change some attitudes on the technical side of the market, it will force those funds to make a decision on whether or not they want to stay on the short side.
Soybean export sales in the week ended March 14 totaled nearly 400,000 metric tons. That was below trade expectations. But the list of buyers included a sale of nearly 143,000 metric tons to China. Bean prices also benefited from speculation that U.S. and Chinese negotiators are crafting the final trade agreement. May bean futures were 4½ cents higher, 9.10½. July up 4¾ to 9.24¼. November 19, beans closed at 9.44¾. That's up 4½ cents on the day.
Yeah, that's got to be why the high-ranking trade officials are making long-distance trips to go to meetings. They've got to be putting something down on paper that President Trump will be able to sign along with President Xi.
And on the livestock side, terrible feedlot conditions in the Central Plains are helping to support live cattle prices, while concerns over tight calf supplies are pulling feeder cattle prices higher. April live cattle, 32½ cents higher, 129.90. June live cattle gained 52½ to close at 123.90. April feeders were 60 cents higher, 148.92½. And on the snout side, pork export sales of more than 29,000 metric tons basically ended selling interest in lean hogs. Mexico was the lead buyer, but most traders say Mexico was buying ahead of expected bigger Chinese purchases. April lean hogs were up the expanded limit of $4.50 to $78.32½, and June hogs were also limit up $94.75. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Let's bring in Oliver Slope, Blue Line Futures. Oliver, first things first, who you got? Who do you like?
Oh. Man, I'm out already. I had Louisville going all the way.
Oh, you did not.
Yeah, just kidding. I'm on the bandwagon.
Are ya?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm totally on. I haven't watched much basketball this year, but this time of year makes it interesting.
Sure does. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. All right. Hog market goes up until it doesn't.
Oh man, it's been parabolic. I mean, honestly, I think a lot of guys, including myself, were more or less expecting this move 2 months ago when we first started hearing the outbreaks, and just assuming that China was lying about how bad it was. And now, the market's finally digesting that news. And I mean, sure, we're extremely overbought. That doesn't mean go ahead and sell this market. Look back to 2014, and this thing will rip your face off for 2 months straight. So the momentum's favorable here. If you don't have to hedge anything and are looking at it from a spec side, just let the dust settle.
Yeah, exactly. And Mexico's a believer now, too, is the way it looks to me. They stepped in and bought some pork in front of some expected Chinese purchases here. What got into corn? You like the move there?
Yeah, I love the move on corn. Finally starting to get some confirmation of a near-term bottom, which is good to see. You guys mentioned it earlier, the short covering from the funds. If we can get out above 380, I think we'll be cooking with fire there. So pretty optimistic on the grains, mostly the corn out of everything. So hey, I think we'll see higher prices over the next month for sure.
Very cool. You know who I put in on the last line, don't you?
I was just gonna ask you. No, Nebraska didn't make it, so not them.
No.
Who was it?
No, I didn't put Nebraska in there, but I did put a team in there that that has red on their uniforms.
No,
got my Cyclones in there going all the way, baby. Watch out. They're dangerous.
All right. I'll cheer for you.
Thank you, Oliver. We'll talk to you later. That is Oliver Slope with Blue Line Futures. Coming up next, we're going to have a conversation with Garrett Toy from First Choice. All right, each year, corn diseases can kind of creep up on you when you're least expecting it. Even the most diligent scouters can be taken by surprise by yield-robbing diseases like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight. Planted corn acres are expected to increase in 2019, so scouting is going to be very, very important in the year ahead. We are with Eric Tedford, Syngenta Technical Fungicide Lead, to talk about why corn diseases can be so wily and what you can do to protect your corn. Eric, what's up?
Hey, thanks, Chip. Foliar diseases can easily get out of hand for several reasons. One is diseases like gray leaf spot, northern corn leaf blight, and even now tar spot can overwinter in the crop residue. So no-till operations and those that are planting corn on corn have to be particularly vigilant because inoculum can readily be present right there where the plants live, and inoculum levels can build up quickly within the season and even from year to year. Growers can reduce these yield-limiting diseases by practicing crop rotation and practices that will discourage the development of spore populations by planting disease-resistant hybrids if they're available, and also by using good fungicides. But a common mistake that many growers make is to wait for disease symptoms to develop before pulling the trigger on a fungicide. Yeah. And the problem lies in the fact that it can take some time between the time plants are infected and symptoms are visible. So, for example, gray leaf spot, symptoms may not be visible until up to 14 days after infection. And by the time you see the symptoms, the damage is already done. Plants expend a lot of energy in defense from infections, and it's that energy that takes away from the yield and the grower's revenue. So to really stay ahead of these diseases and prevent yield losses, growers should consider a broad-spectrum preventive fungicide like Trivapro. With plant health benefits and long-lasting residual control available, up to 40 days residual control in some cases, it will help protect the plants and preserve the yields.
Very good. Eric, I was going to ask you, isn't it you've almost got to look at the conditions of the growing season rather than the condition of the plants when you're deciding when is the right time to go ahead and pull the trigger on a fungicide application, right?
That's absolutely true. Plant pathologists talk about the disease triangle. In order to have disease, you have to have the presence of a host, a susceptible host. You have to have the presence of the pathogen, and then you have to have the right environment for that pathogen. So you're spot on, Chip, with what you just said, because we're talking about the inoculum and the fact that it can develop very quickly and overwinter and spread from field to field and year to year. But a lot of that has to do with the weather and the environmental conditions. So clearly that plays a big role in whether we have a big disease year or not.
Absolutely. Thank you, Eric. That is Eric Tedford, Syngenta Technical Fungicide Lead.
I'm a hard-working nitrogen granule, just like anyone else. You know, I never used to take this nitrogen gig too seriously, but now I have a wife and kids to think about. I love those little granules. So now I wear this protective ESN polymer coating. It protects me from nitrogen loss on the job site until crops need me. Whether it's heavy rain, hot, dry wind, or even nasty bacteria in standing water, I'm not worried about it. Plus, I'm a very responsive guy. If the weather warms up, I'll be working hard to give those crops the nitrogen they need. Come and get it, fellas. And I'll stay on the job 50 up to 80 days if I have to, till my work is done. Isn't it time you picked a smarter, harder-working nitrogen for your farm? Like me. Come check me out at smartnitrogen.com.
When you think of Palmer Amaranth, water hemp, ragweed, and mare's tail, doesn't it just make you want to give them the pounding they deserve? Now you can with Diflex Duo Herbicide. It's the post-emergence corn herbicide with two proven sites of action. So you get powerful control of the toughest weeds, built-in resistance management, and excellent crop safety. So don't just hit weeds. Pound them like never before with Diflex Duo. Learn more at DiflexDuo.us. Always read and follow label instructions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hey, Bill, any advice to control tough weeds and rootworms?
That's easy, Jim. Buy two, save three.
Wait, for weeds and rootworms?
Buy two, save three. Combine your Impact or new Impact Z herbicide purchase with a qualifying insecticide and save $3 per acre.
Buy two, save three. That is good advice.
For details, go to buy2save3.com. Impact, Impact Z, and Buy 2 Save 3 are trademarks owned by Amvac Chemical Corporation. All rights reserved. Impact Z is a restricted-use pesticide. Always read and follow label instructions.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This two DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Spray for as low as $3 an acre with a new Apache sprayer. Talk to your local Apache dealer or run the numbers at ApacheSprayers.com/return.
That Jim Smith ain't right. He's just not right.
Yeah. You know, I don't have to be there in person to break hearts. I can do it just by having a picture of myself posted on Twitter.
You can do it virtually here.
Yeah.
I love it. Love it. I mentioned this morning. I mentioned it this morning. Want to mention it again right now.
Yeah.
Tomorrow, between 5 a.m. and 11 p.m., radio and TV stations across Nebraska are teaming up through the Nebraska Broadcasters Association, and they're going to have a telethon, and you can call in, donate money, and the money will be for flood victim relief in Nebraska, Western Iowa, Kansas, South Dakota. The number to call, guys, 844-278-8555. 844-278-8555. That is Friday, 5 a.m. to 11 p.m. So a little fundraising effort going on there. Garrett Toy, first choice. How are you, Garrett? It's good to talk with you.
Hey, good talking to you, Chip. Doing great.
Doing great. Good, good, good. So all this weather, all the talk, all the disruptions, when you try to wrap your head around everything that's going on over in the Western Belt, what kind of a market impact do you come up with?
Well, I mean, even today, I mean, I think the interesting comments, we've been kind of looking at prevent plant the last couple of days here historically, and, you see the pictures that Betsy's been putting out. She's out there, I think, and it's just incredible what's going on. And we were just talking before we came on, is we've had flooding in our neck of the woods a couple years ago. In fact, we still have bridges that are out, but I live in a part of the country where we have hills and valleys, and, we can flush it through the valley, and it's gone after about 5 days, when it's as flat as Nebraska, and it just, there's no stopping it. There's no containment, and it's... you don't know, that's the unknown, and, a week, 10 days ago, you're looking at the markets and you're looking at, the initial impact of what's the impact on demand. The most bullish thing about the market was the market structure, given the big short. But as we know, as more details come out, I mean, even NOAA today talking, NOAA's deputy director, or National Weather Service, talking comparisons of 93 and 2011. Well, then you go back, in 2011 we had 9.6 million acres of prevent plant, and, we kind of forget the last 3 years we really haven't had that much impact, 1.9 million acres last year. So that's the first thing as far as new crops concerned. That's first and foremost, because planting's in everybody's mind. But, on the other hand, is look what it's doing on the demand side. We got, rail logistics, you've got ethanol plants are down. And, as I mentioned to you earlier, everyone's focused on the corn demand side of side of things, the ethanol and, you know, the backing up of rail cars and things of that sort. But
right.
These crush plants are getting, you know, impacted as well. And it's,
exactly.
You know, and it's impacting soybean demand to some extent, too.
Yeah. Yeah. No question about it. And that's part of the impact. But at Walton Ag Seed sent you a tweet, wanted to know impact of flooding, how much grain was affected. You see the pictures of the busted bins and some damaged grain, but it's not going to amount to a huge amount, is it, Garrett?
Not usually. I mean, that number is going to be you know, pretty hard to quantify. I mean, all
right.
You can look at, you know, historically is historical production numbers, but. You know, the supply side's harder to quantify than in the demand side. So I think that's why you're seeing the market more focused on the demand side. You've got, you know, 10 to 15 crush plants that are impacted, about the same amount of ethanol plants. You know, that's where they're focusing. So at the end of the day, is it net? You know, probably not. I mean, yes, there was supply impacted. And, you know, you see some of the comments on, you know, some of the articles that have been out there as far as, you know, bankers saying that, you know, if you've got a bin full of grain and that's your savings account and it's gone, you know, it's a pretty dire situation. They tried to quantify the numbers, though. You know, the demand lost is probably going to be 75% of what the supply lost is. The demand is always going to be greater than the supply is lost.
Right.
Because you can still kind of salvage some of that. Ethanol plants can take some of that. You can't, obviously can't feed it. And beans, boy, you know, it's a bit of a mess. Those are lost typically.
Right.
But.
Right. Okay, I want to keep going down these questions that now, you know what, as long as we're talking weather, let's stay on that, because I know that you did some analysis of what a wet January and February might indicate for us down the road. What did that analysis tell you?
Right. Well, you know, and we'll see here with National Weather Service saying, you know, to prepare for flooding through, you know, through May. But, you know, just yesterday we were looking at, you know, we're going to probably have the wettest January or February on record, and it looks like, you know, some of the weather forecasters out here are saying that, you know, even, you know, March is going to be ranked, obviously, once everything's said and done with. But, you know, just for the state of Iowa, you know, so far Jan-Feb is going to be the second wettest, you know, January on record. And you've got five wettest, 2001 was the most recent, 2005 was the other most recent. But of the top five wettest Jan-Febs, you know, only 1973 ended up being, you know, one of the wettest whole year, or, you know, total wettest overall years, you know, for the state of Iowa. You know, 1993 was the wettest, obviously. Yeah. You know, it didn't have a wet Jan-Feb. 2018 actually was the second wettest on record.
Yeah.
You know, we weren't wet in January and February. And then 2010, you know, 2008. But it's interesting, though, too, you know, 2011 is not on that list.
Right.
You know, because that happened later in the year, so.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, yeah, I'll admit, when I saw 2018 on the list as the second wettest, but then when you think about all the rain that fell late in the year, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty of producers in North Central Iowa that will say that it was a wet year. You know.
That's right. That is exactly right. That's clear there. So it, when we think about all this water and the disruption of movement and the I don't know, gosh, it's March 21. We cannot be talking about too much concern over planning delays at this point.
Right. And I think that's part of the reason, though, you've had a muted response to this point. I mean, you know, today's price action was pretty good, obviously. what was the driver? I mean, we traded, you know, front end corn. The May corn chart looks a heck of a lot better than the daily continuation chart. You know, and we got front or May corn through, you know, 372, 373 resistance, and now we're back to these, you know, we broke through that trend line resistance. You know, as Oliver said, you know, we're kind of in line for that 382, 383 area. Or is it the flooding issues? You know, I mean, I don't think really you know, I think given the size of the market short that people are watching what's happening, but I don't think it's a market driver right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you're a max short fund position trader, the wetness issues are one thing that you're keeping an eye on. You know, you're keeping an eye on, you had articles overnight talking about, you know, Chinese corn imports again.
Yep, yep.
You know, that JCI conference is going on over in China. And I thought the interesting thing was is that you know they're talking about the TRQs, you know, not really meaning a whole heck of a lot, that it's all about the trade deal, and you just had the shift to China and weather versus, you know, South American selling and weak currencies maybe a week to 10 days ago. You know, and you just had, you know, the shoe's on the other foot at this point.
Right. Right. Okay, so does that make you want to, you want to be patient in a situation like this when it comes to corn then, don't you?
From a producer standpoint?
I mean,
you know, it's, the issue with the flooding is it's always a case of have and have nots. You know, you've got the areas that are impacted. You've got crush capacity that you're losing. You've got ethanol capacity that you're losing. But in other areas, you have other plants that are benefiting from it. So you've got, you know, ethanol margins that are, you know, pushing. You know, you had ethanol today trade to 141. It was, you know, traded to 143 at one point. The areas, ethanol plants that are in areas that are not impacted by the flooding are making money. So they're going to be pushing for basis, maybe trying to expand their capacity a little bit and try to, you know, strike while the iron is hot. Same thing for crush capacity plants. So I don't know what the board flat price is going to do, but from a producer standpoint, if you're in one of those areas that has, you know, firmer basis, you know, I'd be taking advantage of it, because if we do get a flat price rally, you know, that basis probably isn't going to remain as strong. Or B, if we don't get a flat price rally, you know, everybody's going to be dumping corn here in, you know,
right,
45 to 60 days.
Got it. Okay. I want to talk more about that crush capacity issue, and not from a flood or weather perspective, but how much, if we had everything up and running in the state, how many beans could we crush? And not just the state, across the whole country. We're talking with Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities and Ag Trader Talk. We'll continue next.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Picture yourself driving the tractor of your dreams, creeping up and down the rolling hills, enjoying an incredible sunset, and feeling satisfied that you are able to finally find your dream tractor at a reasonable price. Visit MachineryPete.com for the best selection of used tractors, skid steers, mowers, and more. We've revolutionized searching for equipment online. Find exactly what you're looking for quickly and easily. Your next piece of equipment is only a click away on MachineryPete.com. Visit MachineryPete.com now.
For AgriTalk's Tech Talk, Pearl Farmer Senior Economist Dan Vaught joins us now. Dan, what's the market move that matters the most today?
Hey, Jeff, I'm looking at the weekly chart of 10-year Treasury note yields today. T-note yields declined from the Great Recession to an ultimate low of 1.321% in July 2016. That's when the Fed got serious about raising U.S. interest rates, so the following rise to 3.621% last October was hardly surprising. But the concerns about the economy caused rates to start sliding, with the drop accelerating last December when the Fed backed away from its hawkish policies. T-note yields fell below a strong upward trend line drawn across its 16 and 17 lows in late December, and had recently stabilized around 2.7%. But yesterday's dovish Fed actions triggered a fresh drop to 2.537% today, which suggests further declines. It's good news if you're borrowing money.
Yeah, if you're borrowing money, if you're trying to use it as a predictor of economic strength, that's going to send a different message. Thanks, Dan. We'll talk to you later.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is the best of tractor tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, the best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with Pro Farmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit tryprofarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. Pro Farmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit tryprofarmer.com right now. That's tryprofarmer.com.
Hey, Jim, it's Machinery Pete. I found you a great deal on a Kuhn Knight 1140.
Not interested.
Well, how about a nice Hool with a 9,500-gallon tank?
No.
All right, how about an old rusty John Deere 34 manure spreader?
No way.
Jim Wiesmeyer has no need for the honey wagon. He keeps the facts separate from the fertilizer on the DC Signal to Noise podcast. And if you're in the market for a wagon to handle the rest of what gets shoveled in Washington, be sure to check out MachineryPete.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
New Dallaro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you achieve personal best yields.
Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory, along with Davis Michelson. We've been talking with Garrett Toy today. Before we get back to Garrett, Davis, go ahead and recap how the market's finished up.
Sure thing. Well, May hard red winter wheat futures 3 cents higher at 447. May soft red futures gained 1¾ cents to 466.5. May corn futures were 4¾ cents higher at 376.25. July corn up 4.5 cents to 385.5. May bean futures were 4.5 cents higher at 910.5. July up 4¾ to 924.25. April live cattle were 32.5 cents higher, 129.90. April feeders 60 cents higher at 148.92.5. And April lean hogs were up the expanded limit of $4.50 to 78.32.5. That's your quick market recap. Back to you, Chip.
All right. Thank you very much. Garrett Toy is with First Choice Commodities, Ag Trader Talk. He's my guest today. Let's go back to Twitter, okay, Garrett?
Yep.
All right. At Morrison Markets, what's the single most important term that a deal with China must have to warrant a successful deal? And he's also got this to add on to it. Why would China risk a big bilateral trade deal with the U.S. that would both violate their commitment as a WTO member and antagonize other trade partners? So he's got a couple of kind of high-level questions going here. Thanks, yeah. Ken. So what's the most important thing in the deal, and why would they risk it?
You know, one thing that, well, first off, the most important trade, you know, I think everyone should realize, you know, between the $1.65 that we got in soybeans and the whole negotiation tactics is that, you know, agriculture is a fish, you know, essentially the sacrificial lamb is as far as trade negotiations are concerned. You know, and he's trying to make, it just so happens that we are his constituents, and that's why, or the Midwest is his constituents, and that's why, you know, we're getting, you know, the MFP payments and things of that sort. Mm-hmm. But I think the truly call the trade negotiations successful really has nothing to do with agriculture. I think it still boils down to IT and IP theft and things of that sort. So if we can get those sort of concessions, or at least willingness to hold. You know, I think it's interesting. I was watching an interview with Senator Grassley this morning, and he's out in Iowa, and he's, you know, kind of relaying the message from the country. And he made a comment about how unpredictable the president is. And, you know, to hear that come from Senator Grassley, you know, he's not saying anything that we don't know, but it's interesting to hear it come from Senator Grassley. And, you know, we just, you know, even this week with, you know, well, how are they going to enforce a deal? Well, they're going to leave the tariffs in place. Well, that's, you can probably hear the collective groan across, you know, most of the Midwest.
Amen.
You know, when that comment was made. As far as the commitments to the WTO, I'm going to be the first to admit that's probably above my pay grade. But I do think, as far as how it impacts other people, the one, whether it needed to be done, I mean, I would probably argue that it did need to be done. But the one thing about this administration that is the impact that it has had globally is that it has caused everyone to kind of renegotiate their trade, you know, their trade negotiation, you know, between TPP and the EU, and everybody's kind of, you know, taking a step back and looking at their trade deals and thinking, okay, maybe this could be better, you know. So I mean, I don't know if it's necessarily going to be other people that we or the China, impacts or you know, makes, you know, upsets. I think everybody's kind of in the same boat.
And you know, I don't think that they're all that worried about violating their commitments under the WTO. They haven't been to this point, so.
The first time they worry about their WTO commitments will be the first time, you know.
It
hasn't been an impact to this point. So, you know, in fact, I mean, I would think that, you know, some of these deals between TRQs and whatnot, I mean, it, you know, maybe pushing them more towards compliance with the WTO. Right. But you know, that's besides the point.
Right. Okay. Let's jump back to the questions that came in off of Twitter. This one is at J Fleckema. Okay.
Yep.
Is the soybean crush at full capacity? Can we grind enough in this country to increase a hog herd expansion if we need to export a large amount of pork to China? Will that help soy basis, soy usage this coming year?
Yeah.
What do you think?
That's an excellent question.
Yes.
We're already, you know, this, you know, supply and demand economics as it is, you know, we've seen an uptick in crush as of late. As of right now, because of the flooding issues in the Western Corn Belt, I can tell you that we're absolutely not running at full crush capacity. You know, you've got, you know, and really, obviously, you know, Iowa plants are not impacted because, you know, there's maybe a couple that are impacted by flood. It's the rail issues that are really backing things up and kind of forcing things to trucks. But, I mean, you've got, you know, 1.2 million bushel a day of crush capacity in the state of Iowa. You've got 300,000, you know, in the state of Nebraska that may be impacted. Ultimately, though, if we do see a big push for pork demand, you know, the crush margins will firm and crush capacity will increase. But crush margins are going to have to firm to the point to make it worthwhile. Otherwise, you know, we've seen it. You've seen it, Chip, in your years in the industry. You know, if you keep a constrained, you know, supply of something, what these crushers do, and you make a high margin on it, you know, that's a pretty good deal as well. And that's the interesting point about this as well, is I've seen some conversations on Twitter talking about, you know, impacts of ASF in the hog industry. Can the U.S. fulfill the needs for additional pork should China come to the table? And it's kind of a similar answer, is that, you know, we're somewhat limited by capacity. You know, unless we start building hog barns, if China comes in, I mean, I think Tony was telling me today that, you know, today's, you know, sales and export sales would be like the eighth largest weekly sale of pork to China on record. Last week's would be number two of the last 3 years, you know. But capacity is a limiting factor in pork. So what happens, you know, obviously your margins improve. I mean, look at a hog crush margin. You know what's happened over the last couple of weeks. Well, what's going to happen? Well, your pig weights are going to start to increase.
Yep.
You know, and you even saw some comments out of China that, you know, for the pork capacity that they have in China right now that's not impacted by ASF, you know, producers are feeding those hogs out fatter, to capture some better margin, but that also doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see a sharp collapse in feed demand, because, you know, the ones that aren't impacted are feeding those pigs out heavier.
Right.
So.
Right.
Yeah, it boils down to capacity at the end of the day, I believe.
Yeah, exactly. And as far as the ASF and the hog industry expanding enough to force expansion in the soybean crush business, boy, that's a prove-it scenario. And I think the way that you would have to prove it is you might have to go a year where you're importing some soybean meal out of Argentina because we don't have the capacity here in the States to make enough meal to feed the hogs,
right?
That would be plenty of incentive then for those guys to, you know, that are in the crush business.
Right.
Yeah. They would increase their capacity.
If there's X amount of crush plants in the United States and all of a sudden meal demand increases 6%,
yeah,
they're going to say, oh, Merry Christmas. You know,
yes.
I mean, they're just going to sit there and crush as best as they can. And cut, you know, collect their checks.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
But when
you're we've been saying that about these guys for a while, though. That, I mean, they're cutting checks and like a fat hog.
Right.
It's incredible what those margins have been.
Right. They've been strong. I'm not sure. You know, a lot of them have, you know, have fully utilized those margins. But yeah, cash crush margins have definitely been strong.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, let's get away from the Twitter questions. What's top priority that you're watching right now?
You know, 10 days ago, I would have told you, I mean, we've got slowing export pace. You know, we've got slowing export pace. Ethanol, you know, this, yeah. I don't want to say it out loud, but, you know, the flooding and issues, I mean, it's kind of been, it's thrown a lifeline, you know, to some of these ethanol plants that have really been struggling. You know, that's kind of the dark side of agriculture is you always want things to happen to somebody other than yourself. You know, we always want droughts in South America, and we have big crops.
Yep.
And so, I mean, I think the ethanol margins, other than the fact that we have ethanol capacity that is offline, you know, the outside plants are making better money. I think end of the day, the fact that you have crush capacity or ethanol grind capacity offline is a little negative. So the most bullish thing, in my opinion, at this point is probably market structure.
Okay.
You look at, you know, some of the comments out of South America. We're so focused on what's going on around here that you've got cool, wet weather for Argentina and Brazil next week to 10 days. Nobody's really talking about their corn crop. I think that's something you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting the comments you've seen out there about, you know, this week about the hoarding of beans by the Argentine farmer. You know, it's election year. They're not really selling a whole heck of a lot. The Brazilian bean, you know, harvest is on its last legs. But in the same breath, when they're saying that they're hoarding beans, in the exact next sentence, they're saying, you know, they're selling corn. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think part of the issue that you've seen, you know, with corn weakness the last week to 10 days and that uptick in the weakness in the Argentine peso, the things that kind of pushed us down into these near-term lows has been that South American farming or the South American selling. So I think we're probably wrapping that up. You know, focus is maybe shifting back to the northern corn belt or the northern hemisphere, but we'll see how the next 30 days play out.
Very cool. Garrett, it's always fun to talk with you, sir. Thank you.
Yep, appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet. That is Garrett Toy, First Choice Commodities, and at Ag Trader Talk on Twitter. All right, we're going to pull some highlights, and I'm going to answer another one of those questions. This one from Ryan Wagner.
Are you paying too much for fuel and fertilizer? Verify you're getting the best price with Inputs Monitor from Farm Journal Media. Knowing the low, average, and high price quotes from dealers in your area for fertilizers and farm fuels can save you thousands of dollars. Inputs Monitor gives you an easy, anonymous method to compare fertilizer and fuel prices from across the Midwest. Plus, get grower-focused buying advice, local pricing charts, industry news, and purchase alerts so you don't miss any critical buying opportunities. Visit InputsMonitor.com for subscription information. That's InputsMonitor.com. Unbiased and farmer-focused, Inputs Monitor is the newest and best tool to help growers buy inputs at exactly the right time. Before you book your next fertilizer or fuel contract, verify you're getting a fair price with Inputs Monitor. Learn more at InputsMonitor.com. That's InputsMonitor.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hi, I'm Ag Day host Clinton Griffiths, and I invite you to join me each morning as we cover the nation's food system, from fields of green to orchards of orange and livestock everywhere in between. America runs on agriculture, and here at Ag Day, agriculture's what we do best. Listen as our analysts track the markets, learn about innovations in technology and sustainability, and live the country lifestyle through the eyes of rural America. Join me, Clinton Griffiths, for Ag Day, the country experience.
AgriTalk is supported by the all-new Mahindra Roxor off-road 4x4 UTV. It's truly built to work. There is no plastic here. It's got a heavy-duty steel frame and body, a Mahindra 2.5-liter turbo diesel engine, and it will tow up to 3,490 pounds of whatever you hitch it to. Hauling, ranching, you name it. Roxor does not know the meaning of quit. To prove it, the folks at Mahindra have authorized their Roxor dealers to offer some early spring promotions that will save you a ton of money on selected 2018 models. Just head to your local dealer and tell them Chip sent you. You can find your dealer at RoxorOffroad.com.
Save time and capitalize on market opportunities with ProFarmer's Daily Advice Monitor. Whether on your desktop or on your phone, visit TryProFarmer.com and get a generous one-month free trial. ProFarmer only focuses on the news that impacts the market, so you won't scroll through pages of articles to find what's really impacting your business. Plus, get full access to cash bids, charting tools, and more. Visit TryProFarmer.com right now. That's TryProFarmer.com.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Where do you turn to protect your bottom line? It's time you turn to ProFarmer for easy-to-follow market news and advice for both cash marketers and futures and options users. Visit TryProFarmer.com today for a no-obligation four-week trial to the nation's number one marketing newsletter. That's TryProFarmer.com. ProFarmer is not a brokerage firm, so you're not going to get a lot of in-and-out trading advice or elaborate option strategies. You will get rock-solid fundamental market outlook and recommendations that farmers have relied on for generations. Stop sifting through mountains of confusing analysis. ProFarmer selects only the most important news to save you time and keep you focused on what really matters. Make better informed marketing decisions to protect your bottom line. Try the ProFarmer newsletter absolutely free. Visit TryProFarmer.com. That's TryProFarmer.com.
Hey.
Oh.
You're listening to the new AgriTalk with Chip Flory and me, the handsome newsman, Davis Michelson.
Man, I don't even really want to say anything about this, but I can't help myself. I'm going to.
Go on.
Old Belmont's giving Maryland quite the game here. I just checked the score.
22-14, baby.
Yeah, 22-14, halfway through the first half. Hang on. Bradley, Michigan State.
Yep. One-point ball game.
Three and a half minutes left in the first half, and Bradley's actually up a point there. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yep.
I love it. And a tight game between Vermont and Florida State. Mm-hmm. That's a two-point game. And the Auburn Tigers, with a second, with one tick left on the clock. I don't know what the situation is, but there's a tick left on the clock, and Auburn is up a point.
Okay.
They're
down to rolling the slow-mo back and forth with comparisons to the clock.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Did somebody make a shot?
I don't
for
think
New
so.
Mexico?
I think we're still replaying. We're rolling back and forth here.
This is crazy.
Yeah.
Welcome to March.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome to March.
And the ball hits at 1.4 seconds to go.
Wow.
That's my call.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Exciting stuff.
We had a great discussion this morning in the first hour of AgriTalk with Greg Henderson, editorial mm-hmm. director at Drovers.
You bet.
And Leah Biondo. Biondo. I got
yep.
that right.
You got it.
From U.S. Cattlemen's Association. And we were talking about the potential for imports of fresh/chilled/frozen mm-hmm. beef from Brazil.
Yeah.
And also, you know, Brazilian beef products. Could be some processed product in there as well. They're going through they will continue to go through the whole issue of auditing the processing facilities down there in Brazil. And President Trump stood his ground and said, listen, we're going to go and make sure that we see those processing facilities and make sure that it's being done right.
I think that's prudent.
That will absolutely. Absolutely. Yep. At Daring Tanner was mm-hmm. listening and had a question this morning. It says, outside of disease issues, what has Brazil done to move to a feedlot style system versus grass grazing to increase production? Can this help with disease control? You know, I don't know about it helping with the disease control, Tanner. You can't say modernized their feeding facilities. They have expanded their feed yard capacity in Brazil. They are doing some U.S. style feeding of cattle, and they're doing more than what they have in the past. But a lot of that beef down there, Davis, is still mm-hmm. grass-fed, grass-grazed, Cerrados beef that is on the hoof for, you know, 2.5-3 years
okay.
before it finally, you know, gets herded out of the jungle
and
run onto a truck and taken off to the slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So it's aged beef, it's grass-fed, and it's a different product than what we produce, but they are expanding their feed yard capacity some, not enough to threaten the U.S. Hold on the feed yard style of production. So
okay
yeah,
can you imagine trying to raise cattle where they have anacondas?
I've seen some of the pictures
yeah.
of those big old snakes from down there. Yeah,
I ain't going out there.
No, heck,
it's not
no.
safe. It's not
you
safe.
Kidding me? We were talking about the problems moving product around the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
And the feed yard conditions. Out in Nebraska and how weights are coming down. It's been a tough winter all the way around getting weight on those cattle, and it's not going to get any easier here for a while. That corn farmer tweeted at us this morning that he was hauling corn to a couple of local feedlots. He said it's going to take them all summer to get those lots back into shape.
Okay.
Just,
well, that
yeah,
sounds about right.
Terrible situation. Okay. Here's a question that at Wagner Farms, or Ryan Wagner, who's been on the show, asked Garrett, but I'm going to go ahead and take it. He says, how bad are things getting regarding rail service due to flooding and keeping ethanol moving away from the plants? Now, USDA's grain transportation report was out this morning. It's out every Thursday. It's a great report. People don't talk about it, but I try to at least read the first page of it every week. When it comes to rail for BNSF, track in and around Council Bluffs and Sioux City, Iowa, and Omaha and Lincoln, Nebraska remain out of service.
Okay.
For the Union Pacific, these routes are closed. Missouri Valley, Iowa to Grand Island, Nebraska, Fremont and Lincoln, Nebraska, and then Council Bluffs to Kansas City, Kansas. Wow. So those routes are closed for the UP.
Okay.
So it's bad enough that the guys in western Iowa, eastern Nebraska, now down into Missouri, they're going to have a heck of a time moving product around by rail. And if you can't move the ethanol around by rail, you got a real big issue. Guys, listen up. Go to profarmer.com. Jim Wiesmeyer put out an excellent summary, of where anybody that is impacted by the floods, where they need to go to get some help and to get information. So that's at profarmer.com. Just look for it from Wiesmeyer. It is really, really a very helpful listing of all the links that you need. All right, let's do it. Tweet of the day.
Today's tweets are brought to you by Busted Brackets. For some reason, watching March Madness makes me feel like I'm working out too. I'm going to count it. Now today's tweets. This from at Ted the Hammer. It is with great sadness that I must announce I'm cheering for the Gophers.
Yeah.
I don't really have much choice here. At White Wheat tweet, would like to punch the school administrator that decided to have a talent show at 6:15 tonight.
Aww.
And one more, at Jim Smith 87 full circle, Minnesota wins. I have at least one pick correct in my bracket. Nice going, Professor.
Good work, good work. Yeah. Auburn lasted that last tick and got the win.
They made it.
Yeah, we'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Have a great night.
Get control of tough weeds in your soybean fields with new Fierce MTZ herbicide from Valent USA. With three effective modes of action, Fierce MTZ gives you up to 8 weeks of residual control on tough weeds like Palmer amaranth, mare's tail, and annual grasses. Plus, the liquid formulation of Fierce MTZ makes for easy mixing and loading and consistent application. Learn more at valent.com/fiercemtz. Always read and follow label instructions. Fierce MTZ is pending state registration. Check registration status prior to use.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Thanks to Syngenta, producers of Trivapro fungicide, for sponsoring the AgriTalk podcast. Talk to your retailer today about reserving your supply for 2019. Always read and follow label instructions. AgriTalk is brought to you by ESN Smart Nitrogen. ESN is the smartest way to reduce nitrogen losses to wet soils, hot, dry conditions, or microbial attacks in standing water. Learn more at smartnitrogen.com.